You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, that will not blow a fourth quarter lead for you here on the podcast as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Monday to cover a variety of topics after the Pelicans did blow a 10-point fourth quarter lead to the Denver Nuggets on the road and then losing in overtime with a final score of 117-111. We're going to preview that game in the first segment, talk a little bit about fourth quarter blown leads in general, because we've seen that happen a number of times this year already. Certainly not a good stat that the Pelicans want to have. And then finally talk a little bit about three-point shooting, because that is something that is kind of crept up on us here if you follow the Pelicans and other things, that this team, after getting off to a really bad start shooting the three ball, all of a sudden looks kind of good. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, kind of dive into where those shots are coming from, who's making them, how, all of that, and maybe a couple other topics here if we get some time, or we'll save them for tomorrow here on Monday's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's talk about the Denver game. And this is not a good game. Let's not make excuses or anything like that. This is a bad loss for the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a game where they led by as many as 18 points at one point and had a 10-point lead entering the fourth quarter, where they were then outscored 28-18. After putting up quarters of 33, 25, 28, they scored just 18 in the fourth quarter. And there's a number of issues that went into this, and we're going to talk about the fourth quarter collapse. But again, you had good games from some of your main guys, so I want to focus on that. Let's look at the good here a little bit before we look at the bad. And again, as I've been saying, there's plenty of good and plenty of bad with this Pelicans team. And usually, if you go by their record, certainly, of, you know, going into tonight, 15-14, so a game above 500, now 500, exactly at 15-15, the good usually outweighs the bad, but the bad outweighed the good just a little bit so, and that's enough to kind of upend the team. You had Anthony Davis, though, in 44 minutes go, 12 of 22 from the field, 4-4 from the line, didn't really get there much. Grabbed 10 boards and put up 28 points along with 5 blocks. Very good game. Again, no turnovers really from him, just 3. You had DeMarcus Cousins go 9 of 17 from the field, 52.9%. He was 5 of 8 from 3, so that was falling for him. Got to the line 10 times, only made 6 of them. And from there, you know, put up 29 points. Quiet-ish on the boards, it was 4 rebounds. 9 turnovers. That's the number, and we're going to talk about this in a moment here. 9 turnovers, though, really hurt this team. Holiday played well. You know, finally, maybe with more minutes, he'll kind of get these numbers. Finished with 25 points on the night, 6 assists, exactly kind of what you want to see out of him. Only 3 turnovers, and that 3-point shot for him is falling again. 5 of 9 from deep, 55.6%. The Pelicans hit 15 threes overall. That's usually kind of almost a magic number for him. So there was good. You know, usually those three kind of have a big game, this team can win. And again, they had an 18-point lead overall, but didn't get much help from anyone else. Etuan Moore, who we've been talking about and has been playing incredibly well, scored just 4 points on the night, was 2 of 8. He only took 2 threes. You've got to feel like something was just off with him. I'm not quite sure what it was, but maybe he just needed more shots, something like that. Rondo did his Rondo thing, 9 points, 6 assists, was comfortable there. No 1 turnover, that's great. Jameer Nelson, you know, only 3 points, but gets in there for about 25 minutes a game and really facilitates the ball, keeps the ball movement going. 7 assists for him on the night. And then Dante Cunningham played all right. Darius Miller did his Darius Miller thing, hit 2 threes and another shot. And, you know, that was kind of that. And overall, it amounted to 111 points, but it's not enough because you're playing a high-scoring team here. And in the late in the fourth quarter and overtime, the Pelicans really faltered. So this collapse, and it's a collapse, is a number of things. People are going to immediately point to the turnovers. 20 for the Pelicans. I think they've had 15 or more in like four out of their last five games. And turnovers this season have been an issue. Led to 32 turnover points. And I told you guys, I don't really like turnover points or points off turnovers because, frankly, if you turn the ball over, the other team's getting a possession. Even if you score, they can still then go out and score, and you don't measure, you know, how many points a team scores after you score or anything like that. So it's not like a turnover means they get an extra possession. So you had one, then they get one, then you have one, then they get one. And that's how the NBA goes. That's how basketball goes. So I'm not a huge fan of that number, but again, it shows you that they did have an empty trip, and then in the next possession was points for the Denver Nuggets to the point of 32 of them. It's a lot. Like, that's a lot. There's no getting around that. And it shows you just, again, the defense needs to be extra good and even better than normal, because otherwise, you know, you've got to try and do something to cancel out the fact that you had an empty trip, which the Pelicans didn't do a good job of. So people are going to point to that. And the Pelicans particularly had five turnovers late in the fourth quarter, which really allowed that Denver Nuggets team to get right back in it. And where is it? Five of the Pelicans' 20 turnovers came during the final 5 minutes of regulation. And then they had three more in overtime. So there you go. So that really hurts. At that point, it's 17 turnovers in regulation. Five of them were in the final 5 minutes. Not an ideal thing to do, and that's considered crunch time, and you kind of give it away there. And so again, this is what most people are going to point to. I don't necessarily think this was actually the biggest reason why the Pelicans lost. When you look at this fourth quarter, the Pelicans played an 8-man rotation the entire game. And in the fourth quarter, when all 8 guys did play, but you're going to have tired legs. And tired legs and just a lack of energy leads to a lot of negative things here. And after the reset here, we're going to look at specifically what I'm talking about with this topic. And by the way, don't forget to check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We've got some great content over there and a great team of writers. New post up every day, Monday through Friday, LockedOnPelicans.com, the companion site. Make sure you bookmark it. Check it with your regular rotation of everything you look at in the morning. And again, it's LockedOnPelicans.com. So 8-man rotations, which the Pelicans have been using recently, can lead, again, to a lot of tired legs, different things like that, and that's going to lead to some very bad play. So in the fourth quarter, after the Pelicans had, you know, used that 8-man rotation, and 8 guys played in the fourth quarter, but late in the fourth, do you really want some of these big stars sitting? And Anthony Davis, who was very clearly tired and only played under 9 minutes in the fourth, needed to sit at kind of a key run down the stretch, and this is a guy who you need to carry you. He scored 6 points in the quarter, but you need a little bit more out of him like that. And again, I think tired legs he just had to sit down, especially then going to the bench after rolling his ankle and a number of different things. But Drew Holiday, who played 9.5 minutes, was 0-for-4 from the field during that time, 0 points. This dude's your leader, or one of your leaders. You got to get something out of him. But again, with the minutes that these guys are logging, it's a little bit rough. And maybe, especially in the altitude of Denver, you need to kind of get multiple, you know, bigger rest breaks or more rest breaks. Omer Asik didn't play in this game whatsoever. And it kind of makes you wonder why maybe instead of resting Davis late in the fourth quarter, you could have had Omer Asik start the fourth, who he hasn't been terrible this year, and put Anthony Davis on the bench rather than playing him there, letting him get some rest, and then playing him again. Why not keep him in for that final stretch when in crunch time when you want to have your best players on the court? Same thing goes for Ian Clark. Again, Holiday played over 43 minutes, I think it was. You could have given him a rest, you know, maybe to start the fourth, put in Ian Clark, whose minutes have been limited recently, but he's looked good in the minutes that he's played. And he didn't play in this game. I don't know what's going on with this rotation, really, from Alvin Gentry. And then Etuan Moore, who played most of the fourth quarter, you know, doesn't end up making a shot either. These guys completely fell apart in the end. And when you look at it, look at their shot chart. These aren't like they were taking a ton of great So there's twofold to this. It's went 8 of 20 in the fourth, and when you look at it, they missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots basically within 3 feet of the rim. and made a bunch, but you don't want to be shooting 50% there or under 50% in this case. They had 4 mid-range shots during this period compared to just 4 three-point attempts, whereas Denver was basically all threes and looks at the rim. And their looks at the rim, they have quite a few misses, but with the Pelicans lacking energy and kind of the will to go out and dominate, they gave up 4 offensive rebounds for putbacks, easy points to the Denver Nuggets late in this game. I really do think a lot of this just has to do with rest and minutes and guys being really tired. And, you know, the Pelicans have some injuries. You're without Solomon Hill. You're without Omer Asik. You're without Frank Jackson. You don't have the two-way guys with you. But Omer Asik's there. Even if it's just 2 or 3 minutes while he's out there, maybe you can get something from him and rest your guys a little bit more. That's the bigger thing. And then you also do have Ian Clark. So why, when you're playing in the altitude of Denver, in a game where you're clearly starting to struggle as you hit the stretch run, do these guys not get in earlier to maybe try and avoid this and know you're going to need your stars to close out this game because your 18-point lead has been whittled away to 10, and then it allowed basically Denver, with this team being tired, to basically go on, it wasn't basically, they did, go on a 12-0 run, and what ultimately has kind of set the Pelicans up for some disaster. Yet despite all that, the Pelicans had a chance to win this game, and it was, I think, when they got the final possession with 18.6 seconds left, the score was 104, Holley had the ball, and it was basically set up to be an ISO for him, and started his move to get to the rim just too late. His drive and everything, there was just not enough time left on the clock, and he had to settle for this mid-range attempt that was blocked right at the buzzer. And I don't know like what was going on, and Gentry talked about this. So, you know, you drop the play for Holiday. I don't hate it. You have Davis and Cousins out there, but sure, give it to the guy who has done a very good job getting to the rim. Denver's not a very good defensive team. I don't hate that, but what is going on where he just starts his move to go to the rim too late in his drive, and there was just no time for him to try and do anything, and as time's running out, he's just got to put up a shot and it gets blocked. It's basketball IQ. At that point, then, don't go away from your offense and drop an isolation play and try and create or manufacture a look another way when something like this is going to happen. And maybe if he goes earlier and starts his drive and his dribble earlier, we don't talk about this, but man, it's basically kind of sums up a theme of these fourth quarters. 8-man rotations or short man rotations, guys get tired, and this team gets away from exactly what they want to do, and then, you know, the turnovers creep in. Again, 5 in the final 5 minutes of regulation, not a good thing. Just a terrible-looking final play to maybe win the game and avoid overtime, and you needed this win. Denver's won 2 out of 3 against the Pelicans this year. Now, I think it's too early to start talking tiebreakers and all of that, but should that be the case, you know, all of a sudden, basically, it almost gives Denver an extra win, and it's like they won the series 4-1 instead of 2-1 or 3-1 instead of 2-1. Because if it does come down to the last game of the season, and, well, like I said, it's still probably too early to really worry about this. It might not matter whatsoever. This has happened before with the Pelicans when it comes to them in Oklahoma City. That miraculous Anthony Davis 3 at the buzzer, you know, gave the team the tiebreaker, and they finished tied on wins, I think, that year, and OKC was out because they didn't have the tiebreaker. So while it's too early, it's something to be concerned about, but this team has got to figure out a way to close games. It's as simple as that, and I think it's a combination on the players not executing. Look at Drew Holiday right at the end with a chance to win, but it's also on the coaching staff and their rotations, and why are you playing 8 guys when you're in Denver? Why not try and figure out a bit of a rotation that's better to get these guys some rest so you can keep them in a game you think might be close? It's 10 points and have been chipped away down to that. Let's not say they had a big lead so they felt they could rest guys late in the fourth when all of a sudden this team, the opponent goes on a 12-0 run and then you have to sit Anthony Davis after that because you didn't manage his minutes well. That's a bad look on the coaching staff too, and not what you want to see out of them, and it's disappointing. This was a game the Pelicans needed to win. We've talked about the importance of the 7 games coming up, and this is one that's supposed to be a winnable game, and now you're dejected. You're going on the road for 3 games against the Eastern Conference, and you know who knows what's going to happen there. So it kind of just changes the outlook. This is where they could have gotten some separation from the rest of the Western, I can't even say that, it's too many like W's there, the rest of the Western Conference playoff race. It sounded like the officiant in The Princess Bride with the marriage scene. And you don't get that separation now, and you're still stuck in the middle of the pack. You're stuck at 500, and you got to wonder if they can really try and get out of this a little bit. So I want to change the subject from reviewing some bad things and look at something nice here. And this is really great for the Pelicans, because heading into the season, one of the biggest concerns was going to be three-point shooting and court spacing and all of that for New Orleans. And frankly, once they've gotten going after a bit of a rough start, they've done a very good job. I don't think anyone can say otherwise. As it stands right now, they are ninth in three-pointers attempted per game with exactly 30. They've taken 899 three-pointers so far this year. So the next one they take, I'm assuming Tuesday, will make it the 900. That's kind of a weird, cool little number. They've hit 38.3% of their three-pointers attempted this year. They've made 344. And that ranks sixth in the league. And I've said the way to kind of really determine if you're a good three-point shooting team is not just look at percentage. Because if you look at that, you're discounting the volume of it. And that's an important thing, too. So it's kind of some combination of both of those, and I'm not smart enough to create some kind of metric for it. But I'm going to say that the ninth most three-pointers attempted and the sixth best shooting percentage on that qualifies you as being a pretty damn good three-point shooting team. And that's great. You need to space the court for the two bigs in DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. We've seen how Drew Holiday plays much better when the paint is wide open for him to drive to, and three-point shooters also add to that. And frankly, it's looked good. You have Etuan Moore, by the way, who's kind of carried this team. It's two guys who have done so. Etuan Moore on four attempts per game is hitting 47.5%. Darius Miller's not horribly far behind him on 4.2 attempts per game, and he's shooting 45.7%. And then you actually get DeMarcus Cousins, who's shooting 6.5 attempts per game and is hitting 36.1% of them. So he's also doing some work in keeping this number rather high. I think this number's a little bit inflated because without Cousins and that three-point shooting, will be an interesting thing, because I don't think they'd be as high here, even though his percentage is below that. Again, it's a volume thing, which kind of equals out this number here and makes it a large enough sample size that certain guys won't blow it up or tank it. Holiday, has been hurting them with this. So kind of counterbalances that a little bit, along with Dante Cunningham and those guys who are shooting under 34%. But certainly they've done a good job, and a guy like Etuan Moore has shown how valuable he is as a starter now because of this, because he can go out and get points and get shots on very few attempts, so he's not taking away attempts and different things like that from various guys. So this is exactly what you want to see with this team. And we got to be happy about it. And they've kind of quieted up the critics, including myself, who wasn't sure. And that's okay. You can go into this being skeptical because, frankly, there was no reason to think Etuan Moore was going to shoot closer to 50% than he is to 40%. Same thing for Darius Miller, who floundered out of the NBA. And it's nice to be proven wrong here, but that doesn't mean being skeptical of them in the first place was a bad thing. Some interesting things to kind of look at it with this. So it's something I'll probably talk about maybe tomorrow. The Pelicans shot chart in general has been much, much better. When you look at, I got to get the numbers here in front of me. The mid-range attempts for the Pelicans, it is significantly down this year. They are taking just 12.6 mid-range attempts this year, which puts them at the basically sixth best in the league. When it comes to shots in the restricted area, they're second. And then when it comes to points in the paint, they're a little bit lower on that, but still ranking around the middle of the pack in the league. But restricted area is second only to the Los Angeles Lakers. Then you look at the three-point shooting in the different areas it is. They have struggled from the corners at times, but recently with Etuan Moore and Darius Miller have picked that up. So the left corner, the Pelicans take the fifth most attempts from the left corner at 4.1 per game. That short corner that everyone loves. They're shooting 47.2% from there. That's fourth best. The right corner, they're also taking a high number of attempts. They're taking 3.6 there, which puts them in the top 10 and hitting 41% of those. That's a little bit lower. That kind of puts them towards, again, the middle of the pack. Then when you look at above the break threes, that's where, again, middle of the pack. It's those corners that are really kind of knocking up that that number of attempts per game is where they like to get them from. And when you've got low usage guys in Darius Miller and in Etuan Moore, that's a great spot for those guys. The easy shot, they anchor a defender there and really do pull someone out of the paint, because either you're going to have, it's also an easy pass, because when someone drives or Davis or Cousins gets the ball low, and I talked about what Ian Clark did with this earlier on, much earlier on in the season, that when they get the ball low, you want your outlet shooter to be on the same level and the same plane as the ball handler. So if Davis gets the ball in the restricted area and he gets double teamed, it's an easier pass to make that kind of horizontal pass to a corner right there for you. So that's what you like to see, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why this offense is having a lot of success right now, ranking in the top 10 when it comes to efficiency. The flip side of this, and this doesn't get talked about enough and something I might write about later in the week, is that when you do take threes from the corners or have a guy in each corner, that's where you can actually get burned in transition. They've done studies on studies. This has been written about in depth and looked at. I'm going to call them studies here, even though they're not scientific, that, you know, shooters in the corners have a tough time getting back on defense, partially because you're basically in the exact opposite spots of where you need to be on the court. So it can hurt you defensively, particularly when you combine it with turnovers that the Pelicans are doing right now, because turn the ball over, say, around the free throw line, those guys in the corners aren't going to be able to race back and get there in transition to try and defend or anything like that. So a missed shot with a long rebound can really hurt you when you've got guys in the corners. So while it's good that the Pelicans are taking all of these corner threes, and it does a lot for the offense, it does hurt them defensively, and I think that's one of the things we need to look at a little bit more. So I'm probably going to be writing about it and certainly talking about it more here on the podcast with you all in the week to come. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Game day for the Pelicans tomorrow as they take on the Washington Wizards. I'll talk about that. We'll look at more of the three-point shooting, more of the problems with the defense. Talk about Etuan Moore, who's been lighting it up in the month of December, as well as every single Pelicans topic you want to know about. This offense is good now. It's worth talking about why and what's going on there. And does it affect that defense? Because like I had said, you know, sometimes those corner threes aren't necessarily always what you want. And maybe it's just a pick your poison. Do you want to hit those shots? Be good on offense, bad on D, what have you. Also need to talk about these rotations a little bit more as well. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow.